All right, so much for leaving the family group. Then the social group, leaving the social group, giving up social activities which are, as it were, merely social, the ordinary, conventional, run-of-the-mill social activities. You know, the dull, boring parties. If you don't find them dull and boring, of course, well, obviously you're not yet thinking in terms of being an individual, and things of that sort. We have to admit, we have to recognise, you know, when we look at ordinary, conventional social life, as so many people lead it, that it's completely worthless and trivial. And no one who is seriously concerned about his or her own personal individual development can have any part or parcel in it. And of course, another thing that we have to do is, socially speaking, in as part of our dissociation from the social group, is cutting down on merely social talk and gossip. This is absolutely chronic in most ordinary social circles. Talking about someone's got a new job and somebody else has got a baby and you know, so on and so forth. So much time is spent, lost and wasted in this way. The Buddha even went so far as to say to his disciples on one occasion, when you meet together, do one of two things. Either you keep quiet completely, or you talk about the Dharma. You talk about those things which are conducive to your individual spiritual development. One might even go so far as to say that it's much better to be quite literally on one's own than involved in the wrong sort of social life. And then there's the economic group. You're connected, you know, economically with the group, mainly through your job. If you have a job, that is, or when you have a job. So, when you have a job, if you want really to develop as an individual, you mustn't identify completely with your job. A lot of people do this. They don't just think, well, they do this job, they do this work. They think they are that. They are, say, a bricklayer, or they are a stockbroker, or they are a teacher. They completely identify with that particular economic activity. They may identify themselves with a particular firm, like the Japanese do, or identify themselves with the union to which they belong. If, of course, the job also happens to be a vocation, well, that's quite a different matter. But if it's just earning money, if it's just a job, then one certainly shouldn't identify with that. And of course that means that one should spend as little time as possible actually working. Some people think this rather almost revolutionary, but this is something that we have to face up to and accept. That if we are really serious about our spiritual life and spiritual development, we need a lot of time for it. And that means not spending so much time working. In other words, it means just getting a part-time job and spending the rest of our time meaningfully. Of course, there are lots of people nowadays who do get, who do keep part-time jobs, but unfortunately so many of them, having provided themselves with a wonderful opportunity of further development, just don't utilize it at all. They've got a part-time job, they've got plenty of time, many hours every day, but they just waste it. Maybe stay in bed very late, you know, get up very late, just talk, gossip with their friends, you know, do a few things, do a bit of shopping, maybe look at the newspaper and then it's bedtime. You know? Maybe listen to a few records before they go to bed. That's all they ever do. They don't utilize their free time, their spare time, but which is their real time, for activities devoted really to their own personal, individual, spiritual development. But this is what we should do as part of our, or an aspect of our dissociation from the economic group. And then there's the cultural group. We usually think there's just our own cultural group, but there are many cultures in the world other than the one into which we are born. And we can emancipate ourselves from the cultural group into which we were born, in two ways. First of all, by study, and secondly, by travel. If we study the products of other cultures, if we make ourselves acquainted maybe with the literature of another culture, or say the music of another culture, or even the social customs of another culture. We broaden our own outlook. We cease to identify with a particular culture, the one in which we were born, and much more so if we travel. If you travel, if you go and live especially in a foreign country, a different culture, maybe in India or Japan or America, then you'll see how lots of your own habits, your own ways of thought, your own attitudes were just a product of your environment. There's no inherent intrinsic validity in them at all. It's no more sort of natural, no more a basic law of the universe to eat, say, with a knife and fork than to eat with fingers. But in this country, if you're born practically using a knife and fork, well, you think this is the way to eat. You don't question it. You look rather horrified perhaps if someone starts eating with their fingers. But in India, you get used to this sort of thing, a different culture. So travel is one way of, as it were, emancipating oneself from identification with the cultural group into which one happens to have been born. And then there's another group, the political group. But I'm not saying anything about the political group at the moment. It's obviously a subject in itself. And in any case, in about a month's time, I'm giving a special lecture with some bearing on this subject, a special lecture on current world problems, the Buddhist view. We'll be giving some information about that later on. But it'll deal, among other things, with the political implications of the group.